This is After the Gridiron, a podcast featuring interviews with retired football players. If you're a fan of After the Gridiron, make sure you subscribe to the show to ensure that you won't miss an episode. Today's episode is sponsored by Symphonies. Symphonies is an online store that provides custom clothing and accessories. They have a number of quality products available at affordable prices. They offer custom, unique, funny, and inspirational products that you won't find anywhere else. So go to www.symphonies.ca to shop for your next purchase. And as a special offer for our listeners, enter promo code GRIDIRON to get 15% off your purchase. So there's no excuse not to check it out. Again, that's www.symphonies.ca. Symphonies. Great products, great prices.
All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of After the Gridiron. I am your host, Lyle Green, and we have a great guest lineup for you again. Once again today, we have probably the greatest receiver in CFL history, G-Roy Simon. So G-Roy played 17 years of professional football. He played 15 years in the CFL. 15 of those were in the CFL. He played with the Steelers and Buccaneers, mainly in the NFL. And CFL, he's with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, BC Lions, and Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Came out of the University of Maryland, so he's a Terrap. And yeah, from there, he had obviously a great career in the CFL. He was a six-time All-Star, CFL MVP in 2006, and a three-time Grey Cup winner, winning in 06, 2011, and 2013 with the Rough Riders. And now he's working as the Director of Canadian Scouting with the BC Lions, and also has a training program that he does with some former players called Game Ready, and they're getting the kids a chance to improve their skills and help them to get scholarships and excel in their individual sports. So, G-Roy, thank you for coming on and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate your time. Appreciate you coming on. And yeah, I usually start off the interview by asking my guests to say something interesting about themselves that most people wouldn't know about them. So, what would that be for you? What's something interesting about you that most people don't know about you?
Probably the most interesting thing about me right now is I love to cook.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm a solo dad, and since I finished playing, I put on a lot of weight and taken some off. So that's just showing my love of my culinary career. Yeah, after football.
Okay. And do you have a favorite meal, a favorite thing to make?
Not really. I mean, anything that's on the barbecue or anything on my smoker. Yeah. I have a nice big Traeger grill. I have a charcoal grill. I have a gas grill. So I'm kind of all over any kind of barbecue or smoking. That's kind of my main thing.
That's your thing. Okay, you become the grill master there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, cool. Nice. All right, so let's go back to the beginning and talk about when football started for you. When did you start playing football?
Well, I've had a football on my hands from the day that I can, the first day I can remember growing up in Johnstown. You grew up as a Steeler fan. All the steel curtain, all the championships of the Pittsburgh Steelers all over the years. So football was ingrained in me from day one. It's a sport that's played religiously in my family. A lot of different levels of football, a few professional athletes in my family as football players. But it started from the time I can remember watching sports. We watched the Steelers and different NFL or college football teams. But I didn't actually start playing organized football until seventh grade.
Okay. Yeah, no, football is obviously a big thing in Pittsburgh with all the great players that come out of Pittsburgh. So I'm not surprised that it was a big part of your life growing up. I know you're a big basketball fan and loved to hoop as well. So did you play anything else besides football and basketball? Did you play anything else as well?
Yeah, I played baseball. I ran track. In where we're from at Johnstown, it's, you know, you play as many sports as possible. There are no specialists where you only play one sport. If you're an athlete, you're gonna get your shirt pulled on to play multiple sports. And I played a bunch. Basketball was my favorite. My first sport was baseball, and I ran track just because all the cool guys ran track and there was pretty girls running. So I did a little bit of everything.
All right, nice. So when growing up, did obviously you end up playing football? Did you always think that football is something you could do professionally, or is it just something that kind of evolved as you kept playing sports?
Well, no, actually, I wanted to play college basketball, and you know, that's where I was leaning throughout my high school career. But you know, the offers weren't as big as they were for football and even track. So I knew I wanted to play, you know, big time sports and at the university level. So you know, I had a few Division I AA and Division II offers to play basketball, but the big offers were coming for football. So I knew that in order for me to have the best opportunity to be a professional athlete, it was going to be on the football field. So I decided to go that route.
To go football. Okay. All right. So yeah, let's talk about your recruiting process. As you mentioned, you had some more recruiting invitations for football. So talk about the recruiting process and why you decided to go to Maryland. I know Toledo would have loved to have you, but obviously you chose Maryland. But yeah, seriously, though, why did you end up choosing Maryland?
I ended up choosing to go to University of Maryland just because, one, there was a number of different issues. They ran a run and shoot. I knew that, you know, I ran a run and shoot in high school, so I knew I'd have an opportunity to catch a ton of balls. And then I also chose to go to Maryland because if things didn't work out, I wanted to get an education and I wanted to possibly go to, you know, Secret Service, FBI, and the University of Maryland was number one criminal justice school in the country. So I knew that I would have a great opportunity to pursue that if football didn't work out. So that was the main reason. Those are the two main reasons why I chose to go to Maryland, over other schools. And you know, I thought, you know, I made a great decision.
Yeah, obviously everything worked out, and you had a great career there at Maryland. So while you were there, did you try to play basketball there as well? Did they give you a chance to do that as well, or no?
Well, you know, I had an opportunity to walk on the basketball team and run track, but you know, being a six foot one shooting guard, trying to play in the ACC with the University of Maryland, who had, you know, gone on to go to the Sweet 16, I knew my options were limited. I might have been on the team, but I've probably been the last person at the end of the bench. So yeah. I just chose to just to stick it out and work on my football game. And same for track. I just wasn't, I was a high jumper, I was a 100-meter sprinter, but I just chose to focus on playing football full time. Okay,
All right, so yeah, talk about your time at Maryland and how things went with you on the football field. Obviously had a great career there and left there as one of the top receivers in their history. So yeah, talk about your time there and what you liked about the program.
My time at Maryland was great. I played as a true freshman. I got to start a few games, and I played pretty much every game. I think my first two games was I was injured, so I didn't get to play the first game, but then after that I played every game and caught, you know, probably 30 balls that year. And you know, I had a great experience that first year because, you know, we played against Penn State, who were, you know, I think they're number three in the country, Kajana Carter and Kerry Collins, Kyle Brady, you know, those guys were top five picks in the NFL draft that year. We played against Florida State, who were number one in the country, Charlie Ward, who won the Heisman. And I want to say they won a national championship that year. Played West Virginia. They were in the top five in the country. So even though we didn't win a lot of games my first year, I think we were 2-9. I got to see what, big time college football is all about, and playing against some of the top players in the country. And that was, you know, the reality, you know, throughout my college career. Played against some of the top guys in the country every year. And even though we didn't have, you know, the team success, we had a little bit of individual success, you know, and, you know, did some really cool things, as, you know, as a player, growing up at the University of Maryland.
Nice. And yeah, talk about the offense. You mentioned it was a run and shoot offense. So talk about, being able to play in an offense like that at that level.
Oh, it was a great experience because, you know, I didn't get in a huddle until my senior year of college. We never huddled. We called everything at the line of scrimmage. I played the slot, so I was kind of a cross between a receiver, tight end, and a fullback. So that really tested my courage and my toughness at an early age. You know, having that, you know, crackback and linebackers and defensive ends and lead blocks on some of those guys. But, you know, where I'm from, you know, if you're not tough, you're not going to make it. So that was never a problem for me. I was just, you know, normally out overmatched just based on the size of these guys. But, I gave it everything I had. And I think that, you know, I think that was something that helped my reputation, because, you know, even still to this day, I go back to Maryland and a lot of my friends will talk about some of the things we did as, you know, how we were undersized, but we still, you know, we went out and we gave it everything we had each and every week. So that's something to be, you know, to be proud about.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Definitely had might not have the size, but you had the heart to get everything done and to do what was needed to be done to help the team win for sure.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. And yeah, that definitely translated into your pro career as well. So let's move on and talk about you going to the Steelers and going into the draft. I'm not sure if you had a chance to be drafted or if they talked about you possibly getting drafted at all, but you got a chance to sign on with the Steelers. So talk about that process and how that went for you.
Well, going into the draft, you know, it was kind of bittersweet because I was going to the NFL. I was going to get a great opportunity, but once draft day came, I ended up not getting drafted. So that was a little bit of a bummer. I ended up signing with the Cincinnati Bengals. And, you know, didn't make that team, but, you know, quickly got picked up by the Philadelphia Eagles. Spent some time there, spent some time in Pittsburgh, which, you know, obviously was my favorite team growing up. So that's definitely a highlight of my career, and then ended up, you know, finishing the season with Tampa Bay. So I'd been on four teams in my rookie year, but then, you know, the second year I ended up staying with Tampa the majority of the season on their practice squad. And you know, my time in the NFL was, like I said, it was bittersweet because it was great because I was in the NFL, but it wasn't so great because I was on the practice squad and never really got the opportunity to show, my skills on game day. I mean, I got an opportunity because I was there, but I never got the opportunity to play in a true game my first couple of years. So it was pretty disappointing. I felt that I was always someone who played. You know, I was never the greatest practice player, even though I gave it effort and did well. But I always seemed to play best when the light shined bright on game day.
When the game was on, yeah, for sure. So did you, before we get back into the CFL stuff, I know you obviously had a great career. Did you have any regrets of not being able to go back and show what you could do after establishing yourself in the CFL?
Well, I ended up after my first 2 years in Winnipeg, I went back to Kansas City and I signed with the Chiefs. And I was there again for their preseason, but you know, I signed with one coach and then a new coach comes in and things don't work out in your favor. So I did end up going back one time, and then, you know, after I started having more success in the CFL, you know, teams started calling me and wanting me to come back. But I said that, you know, I wasn't, you know, the CFL gave me a great opportunity. And after I'd been established in the CFL for a number of years, I said, wow. I wasn't going back anymore to, Yeah, I felt like it was a waste of my time, and I didn't want to just be someone running around during camp and get cut again. So I just decided to move on from it.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize, that obviously these guys that could definitely play down there and have the skills, obviously, like yourself, have the ability to play in the NFL. But there's other factors that come into play, whether somebody was a high draft pick or wasn't their scouts selection. Those different things come into play that determine who gets to stay and who doesn't get to stay in the NFL for sure.
Exactly. I mean, and the thing too, I had a family, young kids. I didn't want to take them through that moving around and not having an opportunity. So I just said, I know that as long as I'm healthy, I'll get a great opportunity here to continue playing and make the money that I was, scheduled to make. So I didn't want to chance it.
Deserve that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Family obviously comes into play as well. You're making all those decisions. So, as we said, you've had a great career in the CFL. So let's talk about your time up here in Canada, up north, and obviously I'm biased with your time up in BC. We had some great years together as teammates, and we won that great cup in 06. So, yeah, talk about your time up here in Canada and how you enjoyed your time in the CFL.
My time in Canada was in the CFL as a player was amazing. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better career. I had some of the best teammates, including you, that someone can ask for. I mean, we won a ton of games. We won championships. And we celebrated those championships the right way. So, my time in the CFL was amazing. I mean, from the time I walked in the doors of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in 1999 to the time in 2014 when I decided to retire, It was nothing short of amazing. I mean, like I said, we did a ton of winning, which is most important. And, it was a great experience.
Oh yeah, definitely. And obviously winning the great cups is the pinnacle of that. And you're able to win three. Obviously I was a part of the one in 06. Unfortunately I wasn't there with the 2011 one, that was the year I left, but you guys won that year, and then you won one in Saskatchewan as well. So talk about your Grey Cup experiences and how those went. I know, obviously, the last one you had probably your best game out of all of them with the Saskatchewan. So, yeah, talk about your Grey Cup experiences.
Well, winning a Grey Cup was definitely the icing on the cake for me. Growing up, like I said, growing up in Johnstown, growing up in Maryland, I never won a true championship. So I won couple conference championships, but I never won a true championship, a national championship, state championship, none of that stuff. So, to win in 06 was a great cup, but we also, I don't know if you remember, but we swept the awards that year. We won the most outstanding player. Yeah. We won most outstanding rookie, most outstanding lineman, most outstanding defensive player, and Canadian, yeah. and we won the Tom Pate Award. So and special teams. Exactly. So that was something that was truly special to me, because not only did I have individual success like I'd had in the past, but I had the most important thing was we had team success. So that was something that was an amazing accomplishment in my eyes, to win in 06. Like I said, that was my first championship as a player. So, that's definitely, one that's really, really special to me. 2011 was another one that was truly special because, the way we started the season, 1-7. Yeah. And to not only, start 1-7, but to win, 10 of our last 11 games or, 9 of our last 11 games or something like that and win the West and win the Grey Cup. But not only did we win it, we won it at home. So
at home as well,
that was something that was truly amazing. I loved, playing on that team, and even, when we were 1-7, losing each and every week, you never went into a game not feeling that you can win and, you can make some things happen. So, once we turned it around, it was truly special. And then, you know, to win in 2013 was definitely one that I'll never forget. You know, after basically being exiled from BC, you know, the thought was that I couldn't play anymore, that I was too old, washed up. To have an opportunity to you know, to go to Saskatchewan and have a, I didn't have the best year. I dealt with some injuries. But, you know, to have an opportunity at, you know, at the end of the season to, in the first, the semifinals, to beat BC, sent BC home, and then to go into Calgary and minus 23 degree weather and beat Calgary, who were heavily favorites. And then, you know, to win it again in, at home in Saskatchewan in front of, you know, 50,000 fans all wearing green. It was something that was truly amazing. And then I scored my first and only two touchdowns, in that Grey Cup. So, that one was really special, you know, for the sentiment of, you know, winning when everybody thought, you know, we weren't going to win and that I couldn't do it anymore to having some individual success in the game as well. So it was something that was truly special.
Oh yeah. Those are two definitely incredible guys, wins and Grey Cups for you with the 2011 one. I mean, that season, I still can't believe how you guys turned that around and were able to come back from that season. I was in Calgary that year and we started off, you know, really good, and we kind of went in the opposite direction that you guys did. But how what do you think was the key to the turnaround? What do you think, was there a specific moment, or is it just kind of happened as the season went on? You guys just grew more confident and started playing better together.
Well, I think at the beginning of the year there were so many high expectations for us to win the Grey Cup, and we were predicted to win, we were going to do this, we were going to do that, and we started reading the headlines, and in reality we weren't as good as we thought we were, and we weren't playing as good as we thought we should play, but once we made a couple acquisitions that helped us. You know, we brought in Tad Corngate, who was a huge locker room guy. He was very good on the field, but I think he made a bigger impact in the locker room. And then Wally brought in Arlen Bruce, who was another big name receiver who helped balance the field. A lot of times teams were, shading to my side of the field, and Wally brought Arlen in to help balance the field out. And he, he gave us a confidence boost. But I think the biggest factor is Wally told us each and every week that he believed in us and that he wasn't making changes just to make changes. He said, he felt that we were a good team, even though we weren't winning. And he instilled that confidence in us to let us know that, to keep playing hard, keep playing smart, and, keep doing the right things and things will turn around for you. And I think that's something that's the same sentiment that's held true in life. Things might not be going your way, even though you're working hard, you're working smart, you're doing all the right things, and things might not be going your way. But in order to have success, if you continue that and be consistent with that, good things will eventually happen, and you'll see success if you continue to do all the right things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, once you, the things in football obviously mirror things in life as well. And yeah, working hard and not getting the outcome that you want, you kind of have a chance to get discouraged and not continue what you're doing. But when you have good leaders and good people up top like Wally and all the different coaches that you have there, instilling the confidence in you guys and helping you guys to realize that you have the skills and the talents, and you just gotta keep going and keep plugging away, and things will turn around. And they did for you guys, and you guys had that miraculous turnaround and the great outcome and great finish of the season, winning at home and winning on home turf. So yeah, it's a great win, and great credit to you guys for what you guys did that year.
For sure. Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about life after football now. And obviously, you're the director of Canadian scouting with the Lions. But talk about your transition out of football after leaving Saskatchewan and the things that you did going out of football.
Well, you know, I played so long. You know, you get to a point where you start thinking about what you're going to do next. And, you know, the thing is, once we won in 2011, or even before that, you know, back in 2009, 2010, I started to, you know, to think like, you know, I'm getting older. It's a young man's sport, but, you know, I can still play at a high level. But at the same time, I got to start thinking about what's next for me. So I started figuring out what I wanted to do next. And it started with me coaching my son when he was 8 years old. I never really wanted to be a coach. But yeah. Once I started coaching his team and getting the joy from, you know, teaching and instructing and then seeing the positive results from that, it just did something to me that I couldn't run away from. I knew that I wanted to work in football, not necessarily as a coach, but have to work in some capacity. And once I retired, Brendan Taman, who was our GM in Saskatchewan, who actually brought me into the league in Winnipeg in 1999, asked me if I wanted to work in the front office. So I said, sure, definitely. I mean, I didn't have a job, so I said, I would love to. Yeah, exactly. So, once he gave me that opportunity, I jumped on it and I ran with it. when I knew once I retired that I was never coming back, I knew that, you know, a team would call me in the middle of the season and ask me if I wanted to come back, but I yeah. said, you know what, once I'm done with it, I'm washing my hands and I'm moving forward. That's so,
no five moments.
Exactly. No, I didn't want to, you know, leave and come back and risk injury. I walked away healthy. I walked away feeling good. So, I felt good about my decision. When I was younger, bounced around the NFL, I said, I'm pretty religious. And I said, you know, I asked God, I said, if you give me an opportunity, I'm going to exhaust my ability as a football player. And I felt like I did that. So there was no need for me to come back and try to prove anything, because I felt like I proved everything that I needed to prove on the field. And now it's time to take on a new challenge as a personnel guy.
Yeah, yeah, you played. Yeah, playing 17 seasons, definitely played to your max and played use your abilities to the best of your abilities. And yeah, there's definitely nothing left. And you gave it all on the field, and yeah, gave it all to your teammates and to your team. And yeah, did a great job on the field for sure.
For sure, definitely.
All right. So from Saskatchewan, you are drawn back to I guess your home team of BC became your home team, I guess, and they brought you in. So talk about your position with BC and director of Canadian scouting.
Yeah, once you know, after 1 year of being in 1 year of being with Saskatchewan, you know, Wally and Dennis Kulski, the president at the time, gave me a call and asked me if I wanted to come back to BC and work in personnel. And obviously my family was here, so I definitely say, you know, that I love that. And it was just as an area scout when I first got back, you know, just working my butt off each and every week and each and every, you know, the couple seasons. And then, you know, they made me the director of Canadian scouting and draft coordinator. So, it's been a great ride so far. I feel like, you know, obviously there's work to do and there's improvements to be made, but you know, you live and you learn each and every year. I think there's definitely a growing process in this side of it, learning how to find talent. You know, it's not always about the fastest, the prettiest looking guy running around, you know, with all the great ability. You know, he has to fit a system. It's like a puzzle. You have to put the puzzle together each and every week, and I mean each and every offseason, and you got to get guys that fit. So it's been a learning process, and I feel like I'm learning a lot each and every day. So you know, you just got to get, you know, you got to put that puzzle together to find the right guys to to make your team work.
Yeah, definitely. So quickly talk about the Canadian scouting. And I know you're scouting the players in Canada or Canadian players. What have you seen with Canadian players? Has it improved over the years? Because I think it's improved, but I just want to get your perspective on that.
Yeah, I think Canadian players have definitely improved, because I think the good thing is, the coaching at the grassroots levels are much improved. Guys are really taking the time to learn the game. They're taking the time to learn how to instruct children to play the game the right way, playing fast, playing with great technique. And learning the game overall is something that's really you can see it in the kids. They really understand what it takes to not only play at the youth level, but at the college level, and then as a professional. They're really understanding that. So it's something that we're seeing. The talent level is definitely a lot better than it was, say 20, 25 years ago. And a lot of you see a lot of Canadians playing at the NCAA level, and not only playing, but excelling and doing a great job.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. There's more Canadians are being, producing and doing more things in both in the States and up here in Canada as well, in the Canadian colleges. So yeah, it's the level of talent is improving and getting better because of what you said, the coaching level at the grassroots has improved, and it's making its way through the system and helping to improve the kids' abilities all over. So it's a good thing for the game.
For sure, definitely. Yeah.
Okay, so let's finish off with what I call the top of the mountain moments, kind of looking back on your football journey and football career and football life. Is there a favorite moment, favorite time that or some words of wisdom that you want to pass on to younger kids? How would you like to finish things off?
Well, I mean, I would say my top of the mountain moments would be obviously the three Grey Cups. Those are definitely why you play the game, but and on the other hand, I had an opportunity to have great success, winning most outstanding player 2006, and then becoming the all-time leading receiver in yards and yards and receptions. So those are also great moments, but in the end, it all comes down to having great teammates. And I play with some amazing men, on and off the field. And, no matter what you do, whether it's, football, basketball, baseball, any business, if you have great people around you, you'll have success. And I feel like I've been surrounded with great men and women, throughout my life. And I feel like, that was the reason why I had, the success that I've had, as an athlete.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, being surrounded by great people makes us better. And the better the people around you, the better you're going to be as a person as well. So yeah, some great words, great advice. And I just want to say thank you, G. Roy, for coming on. It's been a pleasure. It's been an awesome interview. It's been great catching up with you and chatting with you again. And for those who want to get a hold of you in social media, can you give your call to action and give them a chance to see where they can follow you and find you on social media?
My handles are all pretty simple, but just my name, G. Roy Simon, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So pretty easy to find and pretty accessible.
All right, sounds good. All right, G. Roy, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and we'll have to catch up again another time.
Sure, thank you, brother.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to After the Gridiron. If you're a fan of the show, please make sure you subscribe to the show and also leave a rating and review. By doing that, you also help to spread the word about the podcast and assist others in finding the show so more people can enjoy this great content. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, with the links to those being found on the website. Your support is very much appreciated. Also, please visit the resources page on the website for links to our sponsors and affiliates. Their support helps to keep the show running. So go to www.atgridiron.com/resources to check them out. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you when we kick off our next episode.